So it's a little bit after 2 o'clock, we reconvene the regular scheduled meeting in San Juan County Public Hospital District Number One. And again, today's date is Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. First order of business on the agenda is today's agenda approval. Can the board hear a motion to approve that?
Second.
Very good. Any discussion, additions, deletions of the current agenda? Call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. And the second item is a motion for the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. And next is San Juan County PH Number One Operations Report. Pam Hutchins, ma'am.
Thank you. For the month of March, and as far as cash goes, we had total receipts posted by the county were $110,454.90. Of that total, all of it was for property tax revenues, and that brought our total cash available at the end of March was $285,306.58. This month of April, the cash, the property taxes are coming in. This will be our highest proceeds that we get in for April. So at the end of April, we will have several hundred thousand dollars for next month. Disbursements, the total was $537,069.63. That's for total expenditures for the warrants processed in March. $511,294.01 was the second half payment to PIMC for the subsidy of 2018. So the majority of that, those expenditures, was for that payment. That left $25,775.62 for the rest of accounts payable claims for March. The public records for March, the total expense was $6,274. And I verbally reported that amount last month because I just received the bill for that. So I was reporting it in writing here. We had no public records requests in March, but so far in April, as of the writing of this, we had two public records requests, but we got another public records request in this week. So in April, we've had three so far.
So the $6,274 was for how many requests, individual requests?
Three.
Yes. So roughly a little over 2,000 apiece. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that average?
If you average them. One was $2,500, one was $3,000. There was one that, you know, cost a little bit more because there was more redaction and looking by the attorneys. There was more information for them to look through. Legal expense. That's what we just talked about. For a lot of the legal expense is public records expense because we refer it to our attorney for them to look at it and look for the redactions, make the redaction log and such like that. So legal expense for March was $6,076.50. Total for the year is $6,709. Accounting expense in March was zero, and for the year it is zero. Financial reports for 2017 that we had to complete the Washington State audit for, that totaled for the year $8,423.64. And that's just for 2019, that portion that was left over. And EMS will pay us back half of that amount. In Eden, the April report, I had to go in and work with one of the auditors to get the separations done for the bar lines. So for April, there will be a separate bar line for accounting services, a separate bar line for legal expenses, and a separate bar line for audit expenses by the Washington State Auditors. And we, I will make general journal entries with them to bring up to date to the year what each one of those should have in that bar line. So in the April reports, those bar lines should be complete and have the amounts of what the year is for those.
So. Excellent.
That's
Thank
a
you.
Great
plan.
Thank
yeah.
you.
The financial performance, you were sent the expenditure reports, the revenue detail reports, the revenue and expenditure by fund. That's the one that shows you the revenues on top and then the expenditures on bottom. And over at the far right, the expenditure percentage for the year, we're at 25%. Most of them fall under that. The legal expense and business office wages are higher because of the higher expected records request and such. And we have not done our budget adjustments to adjust the Nathan going full time. And I just received an email today before I came to the meeting that the county has given us our beginning cash letter for 2018. So now we can start looking at fulfilling what we need to do for our reports that are due the end of May, and also looking at our budget adjustments that we can do in April or May. For that, so it's good that those are out. And so that's it for the financial piece. Do you have any questions? Yes.
So, how much an hour do we pay for redaction?
Well, the firm uses a attorney that that charges less an hour.
So my bottom line is, we have this statewide organization. Maybe we should just ask for a survey to see if someone else is able to do their redactions for significantly less, or if we're doing great. I don't know. I just don't know. But when I hear $6,000, I hear $6,000, and I think I need a better understanding of what went into it. Because the number seems to be growing over the last couple of years.
Because we've had more record requests that...
I understand that. That's the point. So maybe we need to look at... You know, I would imagine other public hospital districts are having the same thing. But maybe there's someone out there that has found some source that we get, you know, quality redactions. Because last year, one of our redactions got re-redacted. So I started to think, well, maybe we need to look at this whole issue. About how much we spend per hour doing this. I don't know. I just don't have the answers, but I think we should look at that.
What I know is that when we send our, what we get back from the email, then the most of them are email requests for public records, that the attorney gets that information and they go through each email to make sure that nothing is released that shouldn't, and
I understand that,
and like that. So so that's the charge. The charge is from a less an hour attorney in the firm. Unless I can see what others do, we'd still have to. It still has to be sent to somebody that has to look at every single email,
and that takes time.
I understand that.
It takes time, but if someone charging $175 an hour and another one's charging $96, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's a legitimate question to ask.
I will check.
If we're looking at saving money someplace to sponsor senior care.
The question would also be, do we send it to an attorney that we send it to on a regular basis so he knows the business and he knows looking at it pretty quickly which things need to be redacted, as opposed to somebody who doesn't know our county at all? That might take more time. Well, there's all those issues too.
That may be an issue. I don't see that as a big issue. Redaction. They have certain guidelines whenever you're redacting medical records that they follow. Governance redactions are different. But, you know, there might be a specialty out there that just does medical redactions.
Okay.
And are very legitimate. I don't know. But I think it's a legitimate question to ask.
Okay.
In a cost-saving approach, we could ask ourselves as a board why we have so many public records requests and think about things that we could do to prevent them from happening. Mm-hmm. I think that if we operated with transparency, that perhaps these things wouldn't occur at all. I don't know. But that's just my two cents on that.
My two cents would be, I think we do work with transparency. We try very hard to do that. So I would not say we didn't. I would like to, one of the questions I asked Pam a long time ago with public records requests is, can the people just come in and talk to them and get the information as opposed to having it go through this whole process? And Pam said, yeah, any time they can. So there's that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's two different kinds of public records requests. The informational type, someone wants to come in and look at the minutes book for, you know, the last 6 months meetings or something. They, you know, they can make an appointment and come in, and we have had people do that. They come make an appointment with me and they come in and I get them the books they wish to look at and they look through them there. And then if they see something they want to make a more specific request in a public records actual request, then they can do that. Some of them, it is satisfies whatever they're looking for. They look and they leave. And we usually typically have cycles of public records requests. We went 8 months without having a single record request, and then we have an issue that we're talking about here, or a couple of months we talk about an issue, and then we might have two or three records requests around the same issue. And then after that's finished, you know, we go another 3 or 4 months and not have anything. And then just, you know, depends on, I think, what the board and what we're talking about, what the public are reading in the papers and hearing. So. Now, as far as operations, the Citizens Advisory Group, of course, most everyone knows that they made their joint meeting on April 2nd with Fire and San Juan Island and our board, a joint meeting that they recommended. The fate was in favor of SJI EMS to merge back with SJC Fire Protection District number 3. Now they're in the process of forming a steering group. They're picking one representative from the town, one from the Fire Commission Board, one from our Commission Board, one the Fire Chief, and then Chief Kutzing will be on that. So the group will be 5 people for the steering committee once that gets started. Then they will have regular reports issued by that steering group, and we will be giving regular updates at our hospital district meeting every month on that. And I believe the San Juan County Fire Protection District number 3 will give updates at their meeting as well. So you can hear about it in a couple of different places what is happening on that.
So what I'd appreciate there is we get them as they're finished, not 3 days before this meeting.
Okay. As the meetings are finished.
Yeah. As their minutes are finished for that meeting, that we get them, and we get the fire district minutes, and we get the committee minutes, and then we have our own. It's just the flow of the information is going to get very quick, and try to just catch up on it monthly. I don't think we're that I don't think I'm serving the people that I think I represent. It's just too, because you never know what's going to happen the day you come to these meetings. It's
true.
I'm fully aware of. So sometimes it would be nice, and if we can get all that information as it happens, because we get all this financial stuff at the end, makes it hard to consume all of this and not forget to ask certain questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my request for all that information.
Okay. But we only have our monthly meetings once a month, so
I know. We'll but when they have reports. When Bob and his group have a meeting, it would be nice that I don't have to go search for their minutes, that they just come directly to us. When the committee has their meeting and they put out some minutes or there's a discussion, then we get those as they're published. Part of the problem that we have with CCC is their minutes are published after our meeting.
Okay.
And so if we're getting, I hope that doesn't start happening here, that we're getting minutes published after our regular meeting, because we only meet once a month. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm asking to meet more, trust me. But it would be nice to have the information as we go along, as opposed to this, you know, the snake swallowing the goat all at one mouthful. That's a bad python analogy.
We're going to discuss that in Chief Kutzing's report some, I think.
Okay, next on the list is we are going to be talking about the audiovisual capabilities. Last month, we ran out of time at our last regular meeting, so we'll be talking about those again, what we have found and were sent by two different audiovisual companies. We also, before this, we have started to try to get word out to the people. It's early in the year when they have the filing week for commissioner positions and all positions for elections. Filing week is May 13th through May 17th. That's when you have to turn in your intentions to what office you are going to be filing for. For our commission, we have commission positions of 1, 3, 4, and 5 that will be available. And the only position that is not available is Commissioner Lindstrom's position, and she is in commission position 2. So there's 1 6-year term available, there's 2 2-year terms available, and 1 4-year term available. So people can apply for the different lengths of terms if they, you know, want to start out with 2 to see if that's a good fit for them, or they have more time, they try 4, and then the 6-year term is a full, that's a full term of a commissioner is 6-year term. And we're also going to have a, here at this building on May 9th, it's a Thursday night at 5:00, an open house to talk more about commissioner positions, what we do. Nathan and I will be there. We'll talk about things. Some of the commissioners will be here. They can answer questions. It'll be an open house also for EMS, that if people want to come and visit the facilities, get more questions answered, especially after hearing a lot of these things in the press of all different types of things going on. If they have more questions, they want to see here at the building, we are taking, you can call and take a tour of the facilities if you want to make a time and come, or you can have a tour that night on May 9th. It's just strictly an open house and, you know, information. It's not a debate or anything about commissions. It's just to come and get information and see the facilities here. Also, this month we had interim chief Carl Kutzing took the reins by himself on April 2nd, and he is here today to give his first reports for San Juan Island EMS. So it's been a relatively smooth transition, and we appreciate stepping up, and we look forward to your reign for interim chief and information, and hope that everyone will, if you have questions of Carl, to please, you know, don't be afraid to ask. We'd rather give out information and have it be correct than people wondering. So that's it for my formal operations report. There are a couple of things that we have to talk about that have been pushed aside for a couple of months. The first thing is the letter to Peace Island Medical Center that we had talked about, the subsidy section 2.2.2 suggestions for 2018. And I sent, previously I sent you out a letter listing the six things that you had talked about in the last meeting, and that is in your packet. So I wanted to get a little bit of feedback on that. If that was sufficient, I can send it to PIMC. Or there was another suggestion that came in later after I already completed the letter by Commissioner Appleton. And so I wanted to give an opportunity for a discussion before I send the final letter, or if this is the one you want me to send.
I would suggest the number five, instead of using the word getting, the term of art on transmission beds is designating. I think that's the term of art that they use. The beds are there, they're just not being used. They need to be redesignated from holding beds to transition beds. There's different pay scales and all this kind of stuff. And they, you know, the other one that I brought up was, I don't know, I have noticed a significant increase in the number of homeless people on the island. I picked up a couple of them as hitchhikers just for the experience. There's a fair amount of mental illness. There's an encampment with four or five, and there's a meth house that's not too far away. It's right next, you know, two doors from another meth house that got torn down. My concerns are we addressing this population? For a variety of reasons, well, public health issue, their health, the community's health, big increase in HIV in North Seattle, among heterosexuals, not just homosexuals, but in heterosexuals. I'm also concerned about responses by our paramedics going into a place where there's a lot of methamphetamines and huffing, and people that just aren't thinking right, but do have tools. They're chopping down trees, and they got chainsaws and axes and knives that I know of. I've seen those. But I think that from the emergency department, the high-risk people are those people. Those are the people that keep on going through the emergency department. And I would like to hear back from PIMC of what their thoughts are, if we need to put a task force together to figure out how big of a problem it is. I've had several conversations on the legal side with people, but I think that would be a fair question to ask them, and if nothing else, let them know that we're interested in it.
I do believe that they are looking at that and have been looking at that through the Vulnerable Populations Group. Yeah. Mark Tompkins is heading that up through Department of Health. He does a lot of that, and they're pushing it through the vulnerable populations, and they even now have some additional goals and objectives for this next 2 years that they've been working on right now.
I think the hospital needs to look at it, too. I think that if maybe they're coordinated. Maybe I just don't know. But it's an issue.
But it's not a service, and I think for my situation, I'm looking at it saying, what we're asking Peace Health or Peace Island to do is to provide additional services that they don't really provide. So that's like a whole I mean, it's a specific service. That's like a whole program that just doesn't seem to me to just be asking for a service. Just.
I guess we could argue the definition of program and service, but. And they can always write back, this is what we're doing. At least it brings it up to them. Once you get them in the emergency department, you have no place for them to go but back out on the street, and maybe we need to look at something that way. I don't know. But I would put it in. If not, I can always ask them as a private individual.
Right, the cold weather shelter is really the only thing that's available to people, and that's seasonal, as a place if they're coming out of the ER as a homeless person. But you're just asking for information on what they're doing with these high-risk populations.
What they're doing, and if there's something else they would think about doing.
Right. Great.
And how if they're totally engaged,
Should we do that separately?
If they're not, I think. Pardon?
I said, should we do that separately, like a separate issue, as opposed to asking for services? Just throwing it out there.
Well, I think if they internally had the capability of offering services, or you want to call it an investigation program. They so said that. Basically, this is not our bailiwick. It's being addressed by others, in this case, potentially the Department of Health. And that's the end of discussion. So even though I don't think it's a service per se, in the spirit of Section 222, I think it's better to have it in there and make the list 7 instead of 6 than not.
Do they need a service? I mean, it's up to them.
So would the terminology evaluate needs and scope of homeless populations on San Juan Island, would that cover it?
Respond to us. If there's another service that they could see, or if they're well coordinated, I don't know, I'd have to wordsmith it.
Okay.
But the general idea is to address that population, because that population affects lots of people on this island. Kids on beaches, we had that issue last year with needles on the beach over there. We have needles on out in West Staten Roach now.
Should we wordsmith it now so that we can have the letter ready to send out?
Okay. Sure.
So we can just, because we have to approve.
Go ahead.
So. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we have to wait a whole other month.
Your name's Smith, so start. You're wordsmithing.
I'm going to wordsmith it.
Well, she's good at it. Ex-journalist.
Determine the needs for homeless and possible services, needs and possible services for the homeless.
And also, I think Warren mentioned a very important proviso in my mind, and not only is it applicable to Peace Island, but it's to EMS too, to your agency,
right,
Carl, is operational safety for the medical staff, because these people are totally unpredictable. And there's a component there specific to the ED that potentially could be addressed by Peace Island. So I'd throw that into this recommendation number 7, Professor Smith.
Okay, what about determine needs and possible services for the homeless and operational safety of providers?
Perfect.
Good enough. It just puts it on their plate. They have to get back to us. We start a dialogue on it. Police are having a dialogue. Prosecutor attorney's having a dialogue. It's a big issue.
Okay.
You know, you need one or two kids to get stuck with a needle that's got HIV on it. Measles look like chicken pox.
If it passes as a motion or just...
Yes.
Okay. I move that we, with the inclusion of that number 7, that we approve the letter that goes to the Peace Island Medical Center.
I second it. Any discussion on the board? Dr. Mark?
Peace Island has a charity mission, and they provide care as they meet patients with needs that they cannot pay for. So it's already being addressed in that respect. I see a distinction between social care and health care. I see a distinction between a program and a service. I also know in the community, the vulnerable populations group and the food bank group have surveyed the populations. So we're getting information out there so many years. So I don't see this as being a vacuum of information. I'm not sure that it's in the mission statement of Peace Health to be providing this kind of service. And I say, I'm saying I'm not sure.
Well, in recent times they've had some interest in affordable housing, which is obviously not totally analogous with being homeless, but really sort of a bent in the same direction. And one could like why I say that this is not a specific healthcare service, but it is serving the community in a more global way. Spiritual ways, likewise, it seems, by many others as well, and they provide that too.
Yeah, they do have regard for the poor, and I appreciate that. The affordable housing component, I think, largely was for the benefit and interest of their own employees that would be based here.
Correct. But that's a benefit to the community, yes, albeit in an indirect way.
Yes, it is.
They do a community health needs assessment, what, every 3 years? And so
There's a new one coming up.
There's a new one coming up. Mm-hmm. So just bringing this up is just indicating this is something we would like to have on their radar.
Any other comments? Call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Passes unanimously. And then there's another, commissioner job descriptions, Pam?
Okay, then the next thing is the commissioner job descriptions. We've been working on this for a few months now, and I sent out the latest on this few days ago of wanted you to look at it to see if it encompassed enough of what the commissioners did and would give someone a better understanding of what a commissioner would do if and what they were actually looking into if they were to run for hospital district commissioner. I asked for feedback if there was anything else on the letter that I sent out, and Mark did send today. I gave each one of you his this redlined comments.
So
a few of basically they were wordsmithing and grammar and type corrections. But do you have any other sense of this document?
Yes, I think they should read page XX through XT in the legal manual. There's like four pages or five pages at the very front of the legal manual that I think are just sort of mandatory reading and understanding of duties and responsibilities. And I can get you the page numbers.
I caught that. I looked at that. I put in there from the legal manual the definition. From it. I didn't do the whole four pages.
I just refer them.
So
I
can refer to.
Just give them the. Yeah. Or it might be five pages.
Okay.
I'm just going doing this from memory, having read the manual twice. And.
It's a very long manual.
I can point out the pages if I had the manual in front of me. I don't carry that big thing around all the time.
Yeah, I thought referring to the RCWs is good too, because then I can just go to the RCWs and look at those.
In the digital version of this, Dr. Appleton, we can include a link to the manual.
This is what I copied from the manual, starting with commissioners. I didn't copy all that wording. I did the first paragraph, but that's the pages on commissioners. Is that what you're looking at?
There. I'll just look it up and get it to you.
Because it's a big document.
Yeah, it is a big document. I mean, I can look it up right now, but I'm not going to do that during a meeting.
That was well done. You included that you went to other groups and our other PhDs and included some things that they had. And over the last couple of meetings we've had, I think it turned out great. It's very inclusive. As inclusive as it can be.
Well, I think that the subtle, but really not so subtle, wordsmithing made by Dr. Schwenge is excellent, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this document represents us and should be as polished as possible. And it should be shaved off a few rough points.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to get this approved to, with changes or something, so that I can get it posted on our website. And people are asking, they know we're working on this, they're asking to have the list and to get it out now that we've publicized our May 9th meeting, started that. Many groups have already received their information, and some of them are asking, so.
I would move that we accept it with the addition that Dr. Appleton mentioned.
Second.
Okay.
Any discussion? Call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes unanimously. Very good. And thank you, Mark and Warren, for
yes.
all Thanks your hard work in this.
Patience. Okay. The last thing I have.
Yeah,
one more thing.
Going
on. Been busy month. Commissioner Edwards and Commissioner Lindstrom were at the exit conference for our 2017 financial reporting that the Washington State Auditors did for our 2017 financial reporting. And some of the final recommendations to get us to fully correct the reporting and the control issues was to have an additional resource for governmental corporate accounting that just works with the Washington State Auditors and their type of reports and things like that. I've been looking for this type of accounting firm for over a year to try to get supplemental information to satisfy the auditors. There's not very many out there that do this, but the Port of Friday Harbor, they are also a junior district, and they have their own CPA that does their accounting and reporting. And she gave me the recommendation of this particular CPA. Her name is Teresa Johnson, CPA Incorporated, and she's down past Olympia. It's a firm of three people, but she used to be a Washington State Auditor, and she noticed this void also for organizations like ours and smaller organizations that we're always asking for recommendations and how do we do this better. And also, she formed this company to only do corporate accounting and working with the GAAP side and the cash basis side of reports for the Washington State Auditors that we have to file and the different audit notes and all of that sort of thing. They keep up with that every year on the changes. And so I talked to her, and I sent you out the engagement letter that kind of outlined what she could do and the services, and a high cost of a little over $11,000, and that's if we use all of the scope of the services and everything, but we probably would not use all of it. But if we did, it would be a little over $11,000. But I feel that at this time, to fully correct everything that the Washington State Auditors have so graciously, they've been very, very kind in their implementation with us and showing us ways that we could correct certain things, that this would be a good time to hire a firm such as this to go, now that we are cash basis, and to be able to interface with the Eden reports. They are familiar with the Eden reports. They know how to take the information from the Eden reports, make financial statements. They are very familiar with the Washington State audit report that we have to do yearly. The questions you ask them, they answer them quickly, and so I think it would be appropriate at this time if we are doing what we told the auditors we would do, and to have everything corrected when they come back in October, because they're doing the October 2018. They're doing 2018 accountability and financial reporting, and then the 2017 accountability later this year. So this firm would be able to help not only get the reporting done properly and by May 30th, the next report is due, but also have us ready to have that audit and everything be corrected with what they would like for us to do. It's also an opportunity for Carl coming on in his new to for all of us to learn together, and because it's important to do these things according to the Washington State Auditor's lead and other people that request financials and things from us.
So assumably they'd be able to get a report that would be easy for the auditor, so it would cut down on the auditor's cost because it will cut down on their time.
Yes. Yes. So if we file and have everything squared away in that report, you know, when they start auditing that report, when they get here, they will spend a lot less time. They should have a lot less questions. Or when they do have questions, they will be answered more quickly. And also have we would have a resource if we weren't able to answer the question, to that we can, they're right there, we can, that's part of their service. They're there for us to ask questions and help.
And you did mention that they would be available to call in to meetings if we have
yes.
specific questions for them.
Yes, they were available today. They were, the owner, Teresa Johnson, said she would call in if necessary to ask questions or if you had more questions. And she is standing by right now. If you want to have her on the line, we can get her on the line. They are available. They will come up to meetings if you would like to have them in person. They will be available on phone if you would like to have them available by phone.
I think it's a great step in the right direction, just because we have made progress, and it'll really help us close that gap in the next audit. And also, is there a firm that just works exclusively in this area, so they're mm-hmm. familiar with all of these things.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good step.
Is this a one-time expense?
For this year, yes, it's through just this engagement letter is through the end of the year, but, and also, I mean, it's to see how it goes. You know, it could be a lot less of an expense. I mean, if we go through and learn and do, then, you know, possibly we only would have them to be able to answer questions throughout the year or something, or if the, I'm not sure what the new board is going to look like or what they are going to want to have presented to them as far as financials, so they can take the Eden information and make the formal financial statements, you know, either quarterly, half year, yearly. So they offer varied services. They even do audits. I gave you the website so that you could go online and look at all the different services they offer. So, you know, we can use a little to a lot or when we need it.
Were alternative firms considered?
Yes. I tried four or five different ones, but none of them dealt solely with knowing what the Washington State Auditors and these reports that we have to do yearly. They also did yearly, there were CPAs, they also did the tax returns, and that's another thing I ran into problem with, is trying to get my information that I needed for this report that's due the end of May, because all of those CPAs are having to do their tax returns that are due April 15th and the extensions, where this company doesn't do any private, they don't do any tax forms. They're exclusively working on these reports that are due for, you know, the auditor's office. So,
so it's 70 hours at $161 an hour. Does that sound about what's needed?
This was a high estimate of that we may not need that much, but depending on when we got into the report and depending on the availability of other information that I need to get from San Juan Island EMS, you know, it just did the high listing. It's probably not going to take that much, and it would be adjusted accordingly if we don't need that much. They also are so familiar in dealing with the Washington, the audit reports and the different things, that an hour of their time, they get a whole lot done of with.
They're going to be way more efficient than I am at preparing the financial statements for the auditors. Don't worry about how I feel about this, because I think it's actually, I'm amazed that Pam found somebody that does this. And I think that it would, I know I spend far more than 70 hours a year working with the hospital district. And if they were, you know, if I was to completely phase out and you guys worked exclusively with them, I know that the fees would be more than $11,000. But I probably spend about 70 hours on just doing the financial reports and preparing for the audit. And I'm sure they could be a lot faster at that. And also, you know, we spent a lot of time. It was the first year doing the cash basis, so we really kind of had to redo all of the work papers and the spreadsheets and stuff used to develop those financials. To basically take all that detail of all those accounts and condense it down. So, but it is a unique, that the accounting requirements for local governments are unique. There's governmental accounting standards. It's Washington, it's not even just cash basis, it's like the Washington State auditors, the bars, their own kind of concept of cash basis, and so it is pretty specialized, and to have somebody that is knowledgeable in that, I think would be very helpful. And I think it, like I said, I think it's great to find somebody that can do that and be responsive, can address those needs.
Is the value there, in your opinion?
I think the value's there.
Eight months of service for $11,270.
Well, like Pam said, I think it's based on how many hours they spend. If, you know, we do the legwork to get, like I tell this with any client, that if you can, the cleaner the information that we can get to them, the more efficient they're going to be, and the less it's going to cost. And so if we just kind of dumped everything on them and I didn't do anything to help with that, or if I completely stepped away and they took over everything, I guarantee it'd be a lot more than $11,000 a year that you'd spend. But based on, you know, this engagement letter really delves into the preparation of the financial statements, the compilation of the financial statements and notes, and I think she's certainly budgeting on the high side, you know, on the high side of that. But to do the, you know, there's going to be another step in there in terms of if there's going to be more, if you're going to have them do more and with systems and more with internal controls and processes and stuff, then I would expect that you'd probably start, you might be going higher than that, especially in the first year, but it just depends on how efficient they can be with you guys.
Pam, in your view, is this a good value?
Yes. I sent reports from both our organizations, all of the Eden reports that we get monthly and the what we get at the end of the year, and let them look at that to see if those reports are adequate for them to get information. And she said that they were a lot of information very adequately on there, that it has everything they need to help, you know, do the audit report. Where it comes into making that audit report, that yearly audit report, you have to file the report and put the report in such a specific way. There's a Schedule 1 and there's a Schedule 9, and then you have the audit notes and the different ones, and every year they come out with new things they want you to do, and they understand all of that, because that's all they work with. So where I spent hours looking for what was wrong with my Schedule 1, I mean, they take it and, you know, they can have it done in like 30 minutes to an hour. So I think it is a good value to have someone.
So we need to...
So if you would like to move forward...
The consensus is certainly that it's a step in the right direction, including Chris Compton's accounting advice. So... do you want someone on a proper motion? If not, I'll do it. Okay, I proffer motion that we accept the proposal as written, authored by Teresa Johnson, CPA.
Seconded.
Discussion?
So, we're going to have a lot of moving parts and money, might have a lot of moving parts and money over the next 2 years. And the audits always seem to trail, because they're audits, they're retrospective, so they have to trail. Mm-hmm. And if, in fact, EMS does move over to fire, does this make it easier, bringing in a new form now, or less easy? I just don't know, but I think that's a question we should ask. And I would like to hear from fire, who do you guys have to do the same thing?
We do it in-house.
They don't do it like
we
do.
You do it in-house?
Do it in-house. We use the PAR system, and we, and between the chief and Carolyn, we do it in-house.
Okay.
But they also don't have to fill out the report like we have to, because we have more money going through, and there's more requirements in a bigger report.
We're consolidating to...
My big issue is that we can make it less likely that we're going to have major audit issues. It makes any transition easier, because you don't have all those contingencies. Because if the audit comes back and says, oh, you got 6 months to finish this because we found this, that, and that, and 6 months later, that's a cost. And if a transition happens during those 6 months, it's just another detail to be taken care of. So my goal would be to make it as simple as possible, the least dangling participles, or whatever dangling numbers are called out there.
Well, I think this proposal, to my understanding, is will help the district mitigate future state audits, which amount up to tens of thousands of dollars. And if you know, if our District 3 reaps the benefit of that, of being proactive in our regard and fixing things better ahead of time, then it's exactly what we should be doing. So, any other comments? Call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. And thank you, Pam, for finding a gem here, a unique gem that you know, it's hard.
Yeah, they're not out there. Very few that do just this government stuff.
Now are you done?
Let's see. Yes, I am for this part. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Okay.